welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and each week I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week I will be reading chapter 2 of a story that we began last week. As always, the author's original intent has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is Random Toe Cheese, Chapter 2, Apple Fritters, by Ukulele. Bing.
How much do you want to bet that my story is still going to be better than yours?
Me. How much are you willing to lose? Bing. Sticks out tongue.
Okay, begin.
Disclaimer. I own all of this. The idea, anyway. So do I need a disclaimer? A/N. I think I figured out this HTML uploading stuff, teehee. Apple Fritters. The sweet aroma of pastries filled the cold air as Joni came nearer to her husband's bakery. She stopped in front of the glass wall that separated her from the warm breads inside and quickly spotted the same sign that had been there exactly 10 years ago. Apple Fritters, 59 cents. She began to recall their conversation when Jared had given her the bad news.
You can't leave me.
Joni said, frightened.
Honey, I have to fight for my country. I know 10 years is a long time to be away, but I'll write you every day,
said Jared, trying to retain his composure.
Oh, Jared, I'll miss you so much,
Joni cried, in between little girlish sobs that sounded odd coming from a woman well in her 30s.
Who will take care of the bakery while you're gone?
She asked.
Don't worry about that. Kevin will take good care of it. I'm sure he will,
replied Jared, attempting to reassure himself as well as his wife.
Besides, I still have a year before I have to leave. Let's not think about it right now. Want an apple fritter? I know they're your favorite, so I made an extra just for you.
Thanks, Jared,
she said as she collected herself.
I'd like that.
Joni stepped inside the little bakery and got an odd sensation as the small cracked bell tied onto the door chimed.
Jared, look what I found at the craft fair!
Joni exclaimed as she ran in the back of the bakery to find Jared.
Oh, what did you find?
Jared said in puzzlement, looking up from the cupcakes he was icing. Joni opened her clasped hand to reveal a small gold bell with carved designs on its surface.
I bought it for the door,
she said excitedly.
It came all the way from India.
Joni looked around the bakery and saw an old man sitting on the floor with his back against the counter and his head in his hands.
Have you come to buy some pastries?
Joni asked him.
I don't have any money,
replied a gruff voice, looking up at her strangely.
Are you hungry? If so, I'm sure Jared has some extra apple fritters for me. You can have some if you want.
Yeah, lady, that'd be nice.
Hang on. I'll go into the kitchen and see if he's here yet.
Joni walked to the familiar back room of the bakery to find the old ovens and racks where Jared had cooked time and time again.
Jared, baby, are you here?
There was no answer.
He must have gone out to the store for a few minutes to get some apples.
She called back to the old man in the front of the shop, noticing that the basket of apples was empty.
Okay, lady,
said the old man. Joni stopped suddenly and looked over her shoulder, thinking she had seen something. There it was. The old radio, still set to the same station, on the same counter, with the antenna leaning just slightly to the right. Joni's arms were around his neck and his hands around her waist. They dance slowly to the soft beat of the music coming from the radio, its antenna tilted just slightly to the right for the best reception. A tear rolled down her cheek, and Jared moved her hair out of her eyes. He wiped the small drop of water from her face.
I love you, Joni.
Jared whispered.
I love you too.
Joni whispered back. The space between their lips grew smaller as Joni was pulled in for a kiss. Jared broke the kiss and questioned.
You'll wait for me?
Oh, Jared, you know I will. If I have to wait until the second coming, I will.
I'll be back, Joni. Meet me here in 10 years. I'll be back.
They kissed again, this time until a small bell was heard. Joni awoke from her daydream to realize the sound of the bell was reality.
Jared?
She shouted.
Are you sure this is the right place?
Asked the black-suited officer to his higher-ranking partner.
Yep, 1328 Monroe Street.
Why an abandoned building?
I'll tell you after this is straightened out. Let's just do what we came here for.
Joni screamed at the sight of the two dark-clothed men. The two men barged into the store, causing the little bell to bang against the door and crack.
Jared Blaine, it's time to go,
one of them yelled.
I'm ready, he replied. When I get back, I'll make you all the apple fritters you want, he said softly to his wife. I love you. Goodbye.
And Joni's tears flowed for hours after she watched her Jared leave for Stratford. She ran up to the men and started beating on the closest one's chest.
No, you're not taking him again. He spent 10 years with you. I want my husband to stay with me. No, 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 you can't have him.
Joni,
the other officer exclaimed as he grabbed her shoulders.
You know Jared is dead. He's been dead for 7 years.
I knew she'd be here, he said to his partner, who had a look of confusion on his face.
Her husband got drafted, and no one took care of this place. Once someone told her that her husband was dead, she had to be put in an insane asylum. She always went on and on about meeting Jared here 10 years after. I don't know how she escaped.
The other officer then noticed the old man dressed in rags on the dirty ground.
And you bum. What are you doing in this condemned building?
The man got up and walked out of the old bakery, which hadn't been baked for the past 10 years. Joni was dragged into the car while she continued to cry out for her Jared.
It's too bad no one looked after that old place,
said the officer's partner.
I sure could go for an apple fritter right now.
The end. Is this better with italics, guys? Me. Well? Bing. Me. Yes? Bing.
That was incredibly...
Me. Incredibly better than yours? Bing.
No, it was stupid.
Me. What? Bing.
Who writes about psycho ladies who keep having gay flashbacks?
Me. Is frustrated.
If you think mine was stupid, what do you call yours?
Bing.
Wonderful. As the French would say, formidable.
Me. Ook. If you say so. Bing.
My next one will be even better, too.
Me. Sarcastically. I can't wait. Announcer guy.
Tune in next time for another of Bing's stupid stories.
Bing.
Hey, I thought I stabbed you in the last chapter. Why does he always get a line in?
Me. Smirkishly. I have no clue. That was Random Toe Cheese, Chapter 2, Apple Fritters, by Ukulele. And now time for the part of the show where we bring on a special guest to talk about the story that we just heard. This week we have Ted. Southside Lexington karaoke champion. Ted, welcome to the show.
Hey!
Ted, that's a really abrasive voice. You went karaoke with that?
All the time. I'm the Southside Lexington karaoke champion!
Wow, Ted, that's great. I'm really happy for you. If you don't mind my asking, this might be a sore subject, but what's up with the North Side or the East or West for that matter?
They don't have the caliber of karaoke competition that Ted needs to be able to compete at the level that Ted competes at.
That's interesting. I'm not actually, living in Lexington my entire life. I actually don't know much about the competitive karaoke scene here, but that's interesting to know.
Yeah, I mean, just as long as you're not, like,
Lamp
and Randolph, it's cool.
Ted, I don't know if Dustin explained this to you before. As the producer, he is supposed to explain this, but we actually tried not to use any profanity on the show.
Oh.
Lamp.
No, like, we don't use any profanity as in, like, profane language or, like foul words or anything.
Oh.
Lamp.
My bad.
No, see, that's one of them, too. So, Teddy, it's actually fine. I'll let you go ahead, because I assume Dustin forgot to do his job again. We'll just bleep over it. In a previous episode, we had a
Lamp.
Dustin, that this is...
Lamp.
Okay, everyone stop for a second, okay? I will allow it this time. But we're going to have to use the censor sound from the previous episode where we had that one guest who kept saying
lamp,
and we kept having to bleep it with the word lamp, which I'll have to bleep all of this. So listening audience, just know that every time that you hear the word lamp, that they're actually saying
lamp, lamp, or lamp.
So where were we?
We were talking about the high degree of competition in the Southside Lexington karaoke scene and why I'm the champion.
I remember where we were now. I'd like to change the subject. Ted, Dustin did not tell me your last name. What was it again?
Ted doesn't disclose his last name to the media.
What?
Ted doesn't disclose his last name to the media.
This is hardly the media, Ted. We're a podcast that's maybe listened to by 30 people.
Lamp.
You, Sally Mae. You're not getting my
lamp
money. Ted does his own thing.
So you've gone off the grid because you're trying not to pay student loan debt? Is that what's going on here?
Lamp.
Me.
Oh. Well, I mean, I guess I can't knock it. I've acquired quite a lot of student loan debt myself. What's your degree in?
Communication.
Communication or communications?
Ted's a communicator, man. He just wants to talk to the people and let them know what Ted thinks, and, express that through the power of song! Other people's songs, though.
Yeah,
Like, you can really tell a lot about somebody, like, the way that they sing Freddie Mercury, for instance. You can convey, like, folds of your own life inside of it.
How? Oh, like, okay. Yeah, I guess I understand that. I actually do some karaoke myself, believe it or not.
Where?
Just, like, whenever I'm out with my friends or whatever.
Like, which bar?
Well, I used to go to this place called Planet Rose a lot, in Manhattan when I was going.
Sounds dumb.
No, it was pretty cool. Everything was leopard print and, actually it was zebra print, but there were black lights everywhere.
Who was the champion of the bar?
I don't know that I was so much into the competitive scene of karaoke there, but, I guess if I had to choose a champion, it probably would have been Richard. Richard was pretty good. He did a great version of Kiss. He did a lot of Kiss numbers that he did really well.
So. Kisses for Hacks.
Oh, that's Richard's last name, actually.
Figures.
Richard Hack Kiss. All right, well, Ted, now that we've got that kind of information out of the way, well, I guess actually we should talk about the story first. So this is the second chapter in a epic tale that only lasts two chapters by Ukulele called Random Toe Cheese, this chapter, Apple Fritters. I thought was, well, I don't want to tell you what I thought. I want to hear your unbiased opinion first. So what'd you think?
It reminded me of Fleetwood Mac's Landslide in a way, with just like the contours
really?
And the depth of love.
It brought
between...
you down? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but also brought me up, you know, where I belonged.
Wow.
Which is a different song by a different artist. But, yeah, I mean, it was really good. I didn't really understand what anything had to do with, like, toes or cheese.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the things that I think our listening audience would perhaps say is the greatest power of ukulele is being able to just draw together these seemingly disparate items and ideas and themes and really just combine them together in something that doesn't necessarily make sense, but it doesn't have to, you know? It's like it's still meaningful in that way.
Yeah, Joni's character really spoke to me, reminded me of this girl that I met at my favorite karaoke spot in the south side of Lexington, Strugglers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, tell us more about that.
I mean, well, she was also a big fan of, like, Oddly Crying, even though she was in her mid-30s.
Yeah.
And that was tough, you know?
Yeah, that sounds like it might have been
The noises were just real strange and, like, hard to deal with.
Well, especially for you, a person who is builds their life around noises being the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, well, karaoke champion!
Right, yep, yes, you have said it a lot, in fact. So we aren't confused, but well, how did that work out? I mean, are you still together? Or are you?
I mean, we see each other at the bar occasionally, and like you know, like I'll throw her a
lamp
every once in a while if I'm feeling real feral. But like generally, you know, I try to like keep it real cool. You know, Ted's got a lot of love to give, and he can't really be tied down to like one being in the world. Mm. You know, he has to really spread himself into all of the crevices he can fit. You know.
Wow, Ted, I have to say, we haven't been doing this podcast long, so this statement isn't going to be very meaningful. This is only our 12th episode, but that was easily probably the most disgusting statement I've ever heard uttered on this podcast, and Dustin is our producer, so that's pretty surprising.
I mean, thanks, dude. I mean, it's just, you know what, you know, as karaoke champion, I just try to retain the raw emotion that I get from my heroes like Journey and Foreigner that they sort of transmitted inside of my ears. You know, I want to have that go in my brain and create like a stew that I can then spew out everywhere on my audience.
Wow. Okay. Ted, I'm just going to go ahead. Ted, are you okay?
Yeah.
Ted, we're just going to go ahead and play a game. Is that okay with you?
They call me the master of puppets.
Ted, that doesn't make any sense in this context. Okay, so the way that this game works is that I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and you're going to write a story. In this case, you're going to write a sequel to the story that we just heard. Random Toe Cheese, Chapter 2, Apple Fritters. But the catch is you're only going to get 5 minutes to write it, and that's it. So if you don't make something good in those 5 minutes, then too bad. But if you make something masterful, then that'll be pretty impressive. So is that okay with you?
It'll be the best around. No one ever will keep me down.
Okay. Well, thank you for – this is going to be flagged by iTunes now and removed for – copyright infringement. So here's your pad of paper. We're going to take our 5 minutes now. Here we are again doing the podcast. All right, we're back. Ted?
Hey.
How'd that story writing go?
Oh, man, I just felt like I had so much in me that needed to come out, and I just splatted myself all over the paper, bruh. It feels really good.
5 minutes, I really thought was enough to get this out of your system. I mean, half of that time that you should have been writing, you spent in the bathroom. I'm not sure doing what, because you didn't flush the toilet afterwards, which is very inappropriate.
What can I say, man? You know, you just gotta... You know, blockages, you know, they can stop the creative process.
Ted, are you saying that you broke our toilet?
I'm not saying I didn't, but I'm also not saying that I did.
Oh, my God.
Either,
Ted,
you know,
Ted, that...
I mean, it's like the cat, man. I'm either alive or dead, or I'm both right now.
Ted, that was a gift from my grandfather, all right? My grandfather, before he left and went on an Antarctic expedition, gave me that toilet and said, Cameron, I want you to have this and take care of this. This is what I call my throne, and I spend most of my time here, and I want you to start spending time here too. And I've tried to share that with my friends and with our special guests because I think they're special. And so I put it in my bathroom here at the studio, and yet you're just destroying it and don't even care and making some metaphor about a cat, and I don't really appreciate it, Ted.
Man, I think you need to think about your attachments to the physical realm, man, and think about how, through the power of song, you can transcend your limitations. Now, on that note, I have to say I have a pretty
lamp
song or story here for you to think about.
Oh, really? Is that so?
It's about the transcendental power of sound.
Yes, of sound.
It's actually song. It's not sound.
Song, sound.
Yeah, sounds. I mean, I'm making sounds. There's nothing transcendental about that.
Nothing transcendental. Okay, then you know what, Ted? Just go ahead and read your transcendental whatever. Song, sound, whatever it may be. Whenever you're ready.
Joni picked up the microphone after finishing her old-fashioned. She had been practicing the high note in Don't Stop Believing for weeks in preparation for this moment. She didn't want to sweat on the microphone, so she wiped her hands on her jeans. She had let Randolph, her ultimate rival, embarrass her last week at Strugglers, her favorite karaoke spot on the south side of town. She was determined to have his revenge. Streetlight! People! She
lamp
nailed it. Randolph threw up on himself. It was so great. He had done a really half-assed version of Danger Zone, and he was crying while he puked everywhere like a dumb
lamp.
Everyone bought Ted all of his drinks after they carried him around the bar in his chair like he was bar mitzvahed again. The end.
Ted, you know, I've got a fleeting suspicion, and
that this was the best this show has ever been.
No. In fact, I've got a fleeting suspicion that you just wrote a story to talk nothing about apple fritters, which is chapter 2 of Random Toe Cheese by Ukulele, but instead just a memory of something that you did at a karaoke competition when...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Ted, you even stopped referring to the character as Joni in the end and referred to the character as Ted, which is your name.
Well, I mean, I felt a really, like, mystical connection to Joni.
And Randolph? There was no character named Randolph in the story. There's me, Bing,
Listen,
Joni...
Listen, Randolph is a dumb...
Lamp.
And he can't sing for...
Lamp.
And everyone needs to know that Ted is the karaoke champion of the south side of Lexington.
Okay, yes. See, and this is what I... God. Look, Ted,
He didn't even try that hard.
You know what? I don't really care about Randolph. I don't care about karaoke.
I mean, you invited me on the show.
Yeah, I did, because I... because
I got the belt.
Yes, because you have the belt. All right, yes. The belt is very nice, okay? And I'm going to tell you, I didn't actually know what it was. I just saw you wearing it inside of the restaurant, and I thought, you know, that guy looks like someone who might have some stories to tell, and it would be great to have on the Best Worst Story You've Never Heard. But, you know, honestly, I think this was a mistake. I
like you were a mistake?
No. Ted. Ted, we're going to... Ted, would you stop laughing? Ted, are you laughing or are you choking on something?
I'm a mirthful dude.
Okay, Ted.
I'm just mirthful.
All right, well, we're going to put that mirth to some more use now.
Yeah, your mom put my mirth to use.
Ted.
Last night.
Ted, we're going to... I'm very sorry, listeners. We're now going to move on to... We are now going to move on to a new segment in the show. If you listened to last week's episode, you knew we played a new game called Grand Interpretations. We're actually going to do a variety of new games and other activities on the show. We've come up with many of them that we're excited to show you and share with you. But we have a hard time choosing which one we're going to do, and we can't flip coins. Because that's not relevant in a situation where there are multiple options, and also because of the high-powered magnet. So instead, we have this wheel that we've made. It's called the Wheel of Ending Activities. It's made entirely of plastic, don't worry. And we're going to give it a spin, and we're going to see what activity it lands on. So, Ted, would you like to spin the wheel?
Where is it?
It's this thing right here.
Oh.
You just spin it. It's very easy.
I want you to spin it.
Ted, it's supposed to be a thing where the special guest spins.
Yeah, but I'm the karaoke champion of Lexington. What
okay,
are you,
Ted, look, I'm just
Southside?
There. I've spun the wheel. The wheel is spinning.
But what are you the champion of, though? You should know.
I'm the champion of getting frustrated at guests at podcasts, I think. Okay, so the wheel.
Pretty dumb.
The wheel has stopped at listener. Letters.
Listener.
Letter.
Listener.
Letter.
Listener.
Letter.
This activity, as the name suggests, is where we read letters from you all, the listeners, which I am very glad that we actually have. Well, they're not physical letters, but we actually. Are you yawning at my show?
I'm a little bit hungover.
Okay. Okay, so Ted, here is one letter. For you. Here you go. Just go ahead. And, if you want to go ahead and read that, if you can say who it's from and what they have to say, that'd be great.
Dear Worst Story, do you ever feel like you're the figment of someone's imagination? How do I know I'm real? Spanky.
Wow, that's actually a pretty deep letter.
Yeah. I mean, I find that I never feel more real than when I'm on top of the bar taking my shirt off.
Oh my gosh.
Singing
Ted,
Kenny Loggins
at
the top of my lungs,
Ted,
while pouring Maker's Mark down my throat.
Ted, the letter was addressed to Worst Story, which is part of our name, so I think we're the ones who should answer it. But thank you for your insight. Spanky, I think that the best way to know if you're real or not is, really just look at how others look at you. I don't mean to say define yourself by others, but, you know, there are people out there who love you, and I think that love is really a demonstration of some deep emotions. And those emotions certainly feel real, and though they're not physical or tangible, the fact that they're directed towards you should indicate that, you know, even if you're not real, you have meaning, at least to someone. So.
But you know what is tangible? 200 decibels of your voice pumping through a sound system.
No, Ted, sound is not even, no, that doesn't, oh my gosh.
Like, if you've never heard somebody
200
sing.
Decibels is so loud. I don't think your eardrums could even stand that.
Well, maybe your eardrums can't stand it because you're kind of a
lamp.
Okay, Ted. Thank you. Thank you. All right. I'm going to go ahead and read the next letter, if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
All right. This letter says, Dear Best Worst Story You've Never Read, hope you're doing okay, honey. Call me when you're on your way home. Love, Mom. Thank you, Mom. I appreciate the letter. Thanks for writing in. What are you laughing about, Ted? My mother says she loves me. Is that a problem?
Yeah, I bet your mom does love you.
Oh, my gosh.
I know what your mom loves.
All right, Ted, thank you for being on the show. This has been really fan...
I'll come back anytime.
All right, Ted. Well, you won't be invited back, so... Goodbye, Ted. If you would like to hear your story read, send us a copy online at lexoutloud@gmail.com. Special thanks to our special guest, Ted. Special thanks to Ukulele for use of her story in this week's show. The Best Worst Story cast this week includes Alex Chesser. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones, who also produces the show. This has been a production by Lex Out Loud, a.k.a. LOL, Kentucky's freshest improv team. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.